Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me in the studio in Sioux Falls is Malia Holbeck. She's the manager of Addiction Recovery Program, and she's here today to talk about addiction care. Malia, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here. So let's define addiction care. What does that look like?
So right now at Avera, what we're offering is chemical dependency services to people that have issues with substance use. So services that we are currently providing would be chemical dependency assessments, individual therapy, therapy for couples, for families, and then we also do intensive outpatient treatment, relapse prevention groups, and then we also do pain management groups as well.
So is this because there's usually more than one thing happening to a person with addiction?
Usually there is. A lot of times people will start using just because of a different, because of an issue that maybe has happened in their life. So people will turn to alcohol or to drug use just to try to cope with some of those issues. And then oftentimes we will see that individuals will come in and they'll also have a mental health condition that they're struggling with as well.
What kind of mental health? More than just a depression?
Depression, anxiety would be pretty typical or common diagnoses that we're seeing.
Okay. And so then you treat the whole situation and not just, you know, worrying, facing addiction care?
Yeah, that's right. So we're really looking at the whole person and try to utilize a holistic approach.
Okay. And is it something that you need to go to the behavioral health hospital in Sioux Falls for, or are there other opportunities to take care of these patients?
What they would be able to do if someone is struggling with substance use and also has a mental health concern that they're wanting to get help with, they can just go ahead and make an appointment and come and see one of our therapists too. And if we're not the right spot or needing a little bit more help, we would make sure that they get directed to the right spot.
Okay. So you have a family member who is showing addiction. There's so many places to turn. How do you know which is the right way to go?
And I think that's a really good question, because I think a lot of family members just don't know what to do when they have a family that they're concerned about with their use. So there's a lot of different resources that family members could use. But one thing that they could do is just call our agency and just ask and meet with a counselor too to see what options are available. If someone is wanting to get help, they could come in and meet with a chemical dependency therapist and get an assessment completed. And that therapist will work with that individual to make sure that they're getting the right help.
Okay. Now you're also expanding, Avera is expanding the service, right? You're building a new center.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. What does that look like?
So it is going to be a 32-bed residential facility. It's going to be two buildings. One building is going to be just all the programming, and then the other building is going to be all the residential rooms and part of that. So right now, what Avera has is just outpatient addiction services. So this is really going to be able to provide us with that whole continuum of care for patients. So we're completing about 200 chemical dependency assessments on patients right now and referring out about 22 patients to inpatient care just from our hospital setting. So this is really going to be a nice option to be able to get patients into the right level of care that they need as soon as they get out of the hospital.
Are there a lot of other agencies with inpatient care?
It's a little bit more limited. We do have one that's a little bit closer to Sioux Falls, but otherwise for the state of South Dakota, it's pretty limited to the amount of inpatient facilities that we have.
Okay, now Avera is also partnering with Hazleton, something that some people know about or not so much. So explain that type of care.
Sure. So Hazleton has been a leader in addiction recovery for quite some time now. And what we've done with Hazleton is we've engaged in a partnership with them called the Patient Care Network. So what the Patient Care Network is allowing us to do is to really be able to collaborate between our two facilities and share best practices with each other. Hazelden also has a wealth of information and resources that they have developed over the years. So now we do have access to their evidence-based practices, their resources, to be able to share with our patients, with our family members that we see. And that's also resources that we're using in our programming today. So we're really able to provide the most up-to-date research in programming and treatment to our patients that are coming into our services.
How has addiction care changed over the years?
It's very much evolving. So there's been a variety of different programs that have been around. So Avera's approach is really to kind of look at treating the whole person in a very holistic approach. So we will educate our patients on a variety of different treatment options that are available and a variety of different ways to get into recovery too. So everybody's pathway into recovery is their own, and so we just want to make sure that we're providing the patients that are coming into our care with all those options that are available to them and make sure that they're being able to get into the road of recovery that's going to work best for them.
Is there a science or a chemistry or that has changed, that has evolved as well? And so, that kind of research?
Yeah, so we're really looking at the medical model and how the substances has affected a person's brain and how it's affected their chemistry. And what we're doing is we're really looking at addiction as a chronic disease and treating it as such. So, for example, diabetes would be a chronic disease that gets treated. And so we would treat addiction the same way.
First, you have to have kind of a detox, right?
That would be the first part of it. A lot of people do experience withdrawal symptoms once they become abstinent from a substance. So, and that can range for people, just kind of depending on their use history and how much they've used. For some people, it can be quite severe, and depending on the substance that they've used, it could potentially be even deadly too. A lot of times we would really highly encourage that patient meets with their physician to let them know that they're wanting to get abstinence from the substance that they're on. And then if they're needing to be medically monitored, they would be able to detox safely.
Talk a little bit about opioid use and how that, what we're seeing around the country right now, and how that fits into what you're doing.
So as far as kind of our community and our state, I think we're really just starting to kind of see this opioid epidemic really hit for us. Even since January of this year, the amount of overdose deaths that we've had has been more than we have ever seen before. And even with heroin use around our community, we're seeing more heroin, and it's been laced with other substances that have made it more potent and more deadly. So we're really looking at these individuals that have opioid issues and, you know, how do we best treat them? And with these patients, sometimes we do have to treat them a little bit differently than patients that have been using other substances too. And one thing with opioid addiction is sometimes they might need a different treatment approach too and use medication-assisted treatment. So if they're utilizing medication-assisted treatment, that medication that can be prescribed to them by a provider can really help them ease any cravings that they're having, make sure that they're not going into withdrawal, and that they can have a good quality of life.
This is all great in Sioux Falls, but what about the rest of the state? It's a large area. So you're going into some of the telemedicine part of this as well?
We are. So over the past year, we have really started to utilize telemedicine. So as you just said, South Dakota is such a large geographic state that a lot of our rural communities are so small that they just don't have access to addiction services. So we are really trying to fill those gaps with being able to get some addiction services out to those rural communities that just don't have that. So right now we have started to offer telemedicine services to two of our communities. So we have started with Flandreau and also with Aberdeen. So patients that are coming into their primary care clinics in those two communities would be able to access a chemical dependency counselor via telemedicine.
How does it work well? Or is there an education process, even with providers?
There would be a little bit of an education piece. I think the providers, it has been a very nice opportunity because they do have these patients that are coming into their clinics, and they know that their patients are needing help for their substance use but just don't have anywhere or any help to offer them right now. So now they're able to finally offer them a resource that they haven't been able to before. And as far as the patients, we're really seeing that there really hasn't been a barrier or a challenge for them to link or get logged on to that video. It seems nowadays everybody is really comfortable with technology and probably has used some sort of video platform of communication to some extent. So I think everybody has had some exposure to that already. So what they're doing is they're sitting in their room and they're just sitting, basically sitting in kind of in front of a really big TV screen. And then my therapist will come on and they'll be able to have a really nice conversation too. And another interesting thing that we found is sometimes that barrier or that buffer that gets provided via video is really comfortable for patients too. Because sometimes when they actually have to talk about some of these really hard things that are going on in their life, it's kind of nice just to have that buffer between, you know, that other person when they're talking about some of these hard topics.
You're really not just looking them in the eye.
Exactly.
Huh. That was my next question.
Yeah.
Is that buffer. So then let's paint me the picture of mental health in South Dakota without the substance abuse. Where are we at with that? And how then does this relate?
I think what is kind of what we're starting to see is we're really starting to try to get out some education just to the community about what mental health is, and then really just trying to reduce some of that stigma too. And then also just providing some education on, you know, where to go to get some help, or if you have questions, you know, where can you go or who can you ask to do that? I think the more educated our communities are about mental health, the more aware that they're going to be able to see a family member or friend that's struggling with mental health and really be able to get them the help that they need.
So educate our listeners. What do we need to look for in a loved one?
I think just any changes to kind of their normal day-to-day activities or just kind of their overall mood. And I think it's okay just to ask, you know, that friend or that loved one too, if they're doing okay or if they're struggling with anything that's going on.
So you see this, and there are some low-dose medications to help through tough times. It doesn't mean it's a permanent thing. Is that right?
That's right.
So if you're struggling with a depression right now, get help now and not wait until it gets worse?
I think that would be a good option. I think one thing that we're doing too is we're really trying to equip our primary cares to be able to help patients that are coming in too. So even if you are coming into your primary care physician, letting your physician know that, you know what, you haven't really been feeling yourself lately. You've been feeling a little down. And that physician can really help that individual make a decision. Is medication going to be right for them? Or do we need to look at talking to a mental health professional? A couple of our Avera clinics right now has a mental health professional embedded right into their clinic as well. So if that patient is right there with their physician, they're having that conversation with their physician that they're not feeling very well as far as mood, they'll bring in that mental health professional, and that professional can be able to talk to that individual right there. In some cases, that patient might not even need medication. It might just be some things that they can work with a mental health professional.
So be honest when they run through that list of questions when you go see the doctor. You should be honest.
Yes, you should. Yeah.
But not everybody is.
That's right. Yep. And I think that kind of goes part to the stigma too. You know, people don't want to... let other people know that they're struggling or that there's something wrong with them. So again, I think it's just getting that information out there that, you know, there's so many people that struggle with mental health and also with addictions too, and it's okay to tell someone that you're struggling.
It's okay.
It's okay.
So let's go back then to addiction care. And so you're depressed, you self-medicate, and then it's just kind of a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
It tends to kind of get to a snowball effect. So, you know, for example, you have a bad day at work, you come home and you have a drink and you feel better. So, and that's kind of what happens is, you know, people, you know, maybe have a significant event that has happened in their life. You know, they turn to substances and kind of realize that, you know what, you know, I'm able to kind of escape everything that has happened. And then they'll drink, they'll use that night, and then the next day they feel crappy again because they're starting to remember or starting to experience those feelings. So then they turn to alcohol again, and then it just kind of continues to snowball, you know, where maybe they weren't using alcohol or substances very often, but now it's really grown to, you know, maybe they're using substances most days of the week or every day, and it's really starting to cause some problems in their life.
And then they can hide it, or they try really hard to hide it too, right? So it's not something you see right away. A lot of it's done in secret.
A lot of times it is done in secret, and a lot of people aren't knowing or from the outside that people are really starting to struggle, or maybe that they are drinking or using more than what they normally would.
Mm-hmm. I heard an interview, I think, at one point, and they said, ask the right questions and don't be afraid to say, I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And,
right.
And we should say, okay, then let's talk or let's see how we get help. So it comes with relationships as well.
Right. Yep. Having really good relationships. And again, I think just kind of reinforcing what you said too, you know, checking in with that person, it's okay to ask. You know, and a lot of times, you know, that person that is struggling, sometimes they're really just wanting someone to ask them if they need help too.
Okay. So the news is that this building is under construction, this addiction care, and it's would you call it a new way of treating or just more of accessibility for treatment?
It is more accessibility, and we are really going to be focusing on treating the whole person and being able to utilize best practices that we know in addiction recovery today, and also utilizing evidence-based practices.
Okay. Malia, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Malia Holbeck is the manager of addiction recovery program at Avera Behavioral Health Services.